But first and foremost, we welcome Shai back to the Shia. Baruch Hashem, Shai, it's good to have you. And it always warms my heart to know that even Chabad people find a home in Gush. It's my dream. My dream is that we create space for everyone and everyone finds themselves and no one feels they have to take the shape of anyone else. And come to nominate your Novet Hashem. Your Novet Hashem in this style or that style. And it's a very special. It's harder. It's easier to make. Sometimes I laugh when people ask me the question. I have to hold myself back. What type of boy goes to Gush? I say, you're asking the wrong question about this issue. Okay, this is not a program. A 19-year-old American is a yeshiva where people come from all over the world, different styles, different backgrounds, and you know, Americans join also. So it's like asking, you know, what type of boy lives in Teaneck? I don't know. Thousands of people. So Baruch Hashem, we take great pride in creating space, and I hope that will filter down to you, that someone came over to me this week, you know, it was a conversation about camps and about, you know, Baruch Hashem, there's a big representation here. Some camps are more represented than others, but different drachim, different camps, and learn to appreciate that. That's really how you get to authenticity. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So step out of your box, have the confidence to know that your way isn't the only way. There are other ways to be an Oved Hashem, and your way is your way, but there are other ways as well. So Baruch Hashem, we're happy to have you back, Shai, and keep up the good work, saving Am Yisrael, okay? That's a great work, okay? Okay. If we go back and we review in our minds at least, everything that we've seen over the past couple, everything that we've seen over the past couple months, and we wanted to know whether you're chayav because you're a posheya, you're chayav because you own it. We dabbled a little in the case of Bor being the exceptional because there's nothing to be pshia about, and you don't own it, it's just a hole, and Nizik throws himself onto the Bor. So we developed the concept of Yitziras HaMazik, someone that creates a hazard, and therefore the chayav of Bor has to be calibrated based on who it is a hazard for, who it's not a hazard for. So these are ideas that are running around in our minds, and we found different markers throughout Maseches Bava Kama to help elucidate them. But as I facetiously scratch my head for visual effect, what if I could find a very, very weird type of mazik that seems to defy the classic definitions of Shia and Mammon? And what if I could find such a mazik? Would that help me, because it's an extreme case, and logic is always better seen at the extremes, would that help me sharpen my definitions of what Shia is, of what Mammon is? Can anyone think of such a case? That's a very, very weird mazik that would help us sharpen the definitions that are classic? We call that Eish. Welcome to the world of Eish. Okay, so just understand the moment. Understand what's happening in the sugya globally. Eish, in many ways, is the outlier. In some ways, Bor is an outlier, but as we'll see in the sugya, even Bor could be seen as more conventional than Eish. Eish is very, very, very hard to reconcile with the classic notions of Niske Mamon, where there's something that you watch that does damage to one degree or another that does damage. Who am I paraphrasing right now? Who had such a hard time with reconciling H with Mamono Shehizik, with Niske Mamon, that they said, you know what, we got to do something really different, really dramatic, really radical, really next week. Who am I describing? Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said, there is no possible way to use any of the terminology that we face in Shein, Regel, Karen, and Bor that can't be applied whatsoever to H. And therefore, Rav Yochanan said, Isha Mishum Chitzo, essentially, until we get to Rav Yochanan next week, Eish is Adam HaMazik. And we all know that Adam HaMazik is a whole separate frequency. Bein Muad, Mor Le'olam, Ones, Ratzon, Shogeg, Mesit. So Rav Yochanan basically capitulated. There is no way to reconcile Eish with Mamona Shehizik. Therefore, I'm going to call Eish Chitzav. Again, we're going to have to explore Chitzav, and maybe we'll moderate Rabbi Yochanan. He didn't really mean Adam HaMazik. He just meant this form of Mamona Shehizik that he called Chitzav. Remember, terms can be very, very confusing, because terms are always relative. So just like we'll see today, Shlakish's term could be relative, Rabbi Yochanan's term could be relative, because your terms are contextual. I'm saying something to you in a conversation. So I could say something very dramatic, right? Who here likes to say things dramatic? Who here likes to say things that are exaggeration? I don't know, maybe you are. Say, well, if you do that, I'll cry 1,000 nights. You don't really mean you're going to cry 1,000 nights. You just mean you'll be very hurt. So sometimes in the context of a conversation, your answer, your terminology is in response to rather than this absolute codification of what it is. So we're going to have to think about that in Rish Lakish and think about that in Yochanan, and quite frankly, any Machlokas. Because the terminology only has to be the negation of the other person's terminology, even though it sounds very, very, very radical, very dramatic. So we're going to ask the question today about Reish Lakish. When we get to Be'ofer, we'll ask that question. So today's initial, I don't know how much we'll get accomplished, maybe, we'll see as much as possible. Today's initial analysis is how to make sense of Reish Lakish's phrase, Isho Mishum Mimono. What does Isho Mishum Mimono mean? With the understanding that it's very hard, which Rishon already sensed that the word mamon can't really be superimposed on Eish? Which Rishon am I talking about? Tells us in Daf Gimel. Remember, the drama was, should you put mamon into the sugya or not? The Rif inserted the word, not shmiras and alecha alone, but mamoncha. If you remember, Tosfos, on Daf Dalet Amin Aleph, so let's see a different Tosfos I didn't give you, because it's not really an Eish Tosfos. Dalet Amin Aleph, I see. Does everyone want to get your Gemara? It would help. Yeah, take a few minutes. It's fine. Get the Gemara. Okay. Mikan mashma delo garsinan b'masnisin mimona. Tosfos is medayik from the conversation of the Gemara that you don't have the word mamon in the Mishnah. Just the conversation implies such without getting into the details of what the conversation was. But it's not like Tosfos is spotlighting any criminal in Mishnah. Oh, because of you, I can't have the word mamon. Tosfos just sounds like the Gemara's conversation implies that you don't say the word mamon in the Mishnah. But a different Tosfos on Gimel and Beis says, you know why I don't want to have mamon in the Mishnah? You know what forces me to eliminate mamon from the Mishnah, Tosfos says? Lav dafka gave bor, the lav mimonahu. So bor is the criminal. Bor is the anti-mamon force, which we'll see later. That makes sense. We've talked about this. But not only is bor the anti-mamon sense, v'chein gave eish. The pshita, not so pashit, but Tosfos feels it's pashit. Dim hidla gedisho shechaver v'eish shalacher, dechayev. I take your fire and light Hillel's field, I'm chayev. I don't have to own the fire. So the word mamon can't apply in the Mishnah because classic forms of ownership simply don't apply to Eish. No one owns fire. And I don't have to own the fire because I can't own the fire. So if I take someone's fire and I burn up your field, I'd be chayev. So we already know that the classic mamon, which is essentially Rabbi Yochanan's claim, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan defaulted to chitzav. Our question today is, what does Reish Lakish do? So can anyone give me the general structural trajectories or vectors? One answer is that Reish Lakish, when he said mamon, didn't really mean mamon. One way is, he meant it, and to change your definition of mamon a little bit. Mamon is it. Okay, so let's start with the first way. Can anyone tell me, based on our big table, which was on the board yesterday, give me the easy way to learn this again. If you need to go to Yerushalayim because you need to do mitzvahs in Yerushalayim, because why would you leave Shir for any other reason, but you're going to do a lot of mitzvahs, you'll need to leave Shir. Okay, what would be the quick way to end Shir today? Reish Lakish holds, what's Mechayev the Baal? Shir. The word mamon doesn't mean ownership, legal title. It means just like Shane, Regel, Karen, yeah, maybe Bar, we'll see, but Bar we can put on the side, Natan. But when you have mimono shehizik, the category of Shane Regel, the category of Bava Kama, which we call mimono as opposed to the category of Adam, which is a whole separate category, that mechayev isn't really ownership. That mechayev is negligence. And you're negligent on fire the same way you're negligent on an animal, the same way you're negligent potentially on a boar. And therefore, you didn't mean you own it. Of course, you don't own it, right? And that's why Aryeh Tosfos really tried to take the word mamon out of the Mishnah, because the real crux of the Mishnah is Shmira Asa Nalecha, that you violated the Shmira, and that leads to a Pshia. So in the Mishnah, I understand why I want to take out the word mamon, because every word in the Mishnah is very, very resonant and makes you think you need to own it, and that's wrong by Eish, so take it out. But when Reish Lakish uses the word mamona as opposed to the word mamon in the Mishnah, which we have to take out according to Tosfos, but when Reish Lakish, again, I'm not saying whether Tosfos passes like Reish Lakish, we have to pass like a Yochanan, but let's assume that Tosfos on Daf Gimel is not committing. He's saying, I don't like the word mamon in the Mishnah, even according to Reish Lakish. So even though Reish Lakish was willing to call it mamon, that doesn't mean the Mishnah should call it mamon, because the Mishnah already says, Pshiyah, Shmuras, and Alecha. So they don't add the word mamon to be confusing. But Reish Lakish, in the context of his machlokas with the Be'ochanan, said, you think it's impossible to reconcile Eish with normal Shein V'Regel? I'll tell you that it is, because this category called Mimono can apply to Eish. Because the category that we all refer to as Mamon, right? How does the Rambam call the halachas of Bava Kama? Who remembers? How does the Rambam call it? Niske Mamon. So it doesn't mean Niske Mamon that you have legal title. It means Nizakan that you don't cause. It's supposed to Niske Adam. It's supposed to Chavala and other sorts of Geneva, whatever else. So this can be reconciled with Mamon because everyone really knows that deep down the Mechayev is Pshia. That's the easy way to learn the sugya until we have a problem in the sugya. But let's first see, if that's so easy, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Before we get to the problem in the sugya, right? We're like the ping pong. I was just talking to a boy last night who was applying to the yeshiva, and like he didn't really have any clues. He learned, but he didn't really know like what the brisker there is. Very, very interested in learning. So like, explain it to me. And I tried to give him in a few minutes methodology, you know, atomize, categorize, globalize. Remember our three-step process? Find the information, turn it into a category, globalize it. And I started to tell him, you know, how you break down a machlokas, then the ping pong, you know, back and forth, this one, that one. That's how the Gemara says, ve'idach, 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 ve'idach. The Gemara plays ping pong when it has a drasha. So what would you say about the drasha? What would you say about the start? What would you say? So it whittles it down to a point that they can't go any further, the bone of the contention. Do you darshan the extra O? Do you darshan the extra word? Whatever. Do you... So the Gemara plays that, right? I was singing today as I was getting poured on. I was getting drenched going to get my Shabbos run for flowers and newspapers and everything. I was thinking that that's what makes the brisker derech different. It's not an add-on. It gives us glasses to better understand the Rishonim and the Gemara. Someone asked me, what makes a brisker derech superior in my mind to other forms of learning? Pilpul is taking the Gemara and going, you know, asking another question and trying to solve the internal calculus. Whereas I feel a claim, give me glasses. When I look back at the Rishonim, I see brisker logic. I see that's the way they operated. When I look back at the Gemara, I see. So he's basically giving me the circuitry and the language to understand what took place. So it's not another layer. It's simply mythologizing and organizing and systematizing and vocabularizing, giving me the vocabulary to look back. That's clearly what the Ravid meant. That's clear, right? That's what we've done all year. Oh, we look at the Rishonim. We're not trying to give another Chiddush and another Pilpul. We're trying to go back to the world of Rishonim. Who just, this boy actually asked me as I was passing, he says, you know, can you come up with an idea without reading the Rishonim? So I said, in theory, yes, but I'm just not smart enough to do that. So I just don't feel like I can crack open a sugya and understand all its nuances without saying the Rishonim. But in theory, I think there are people that know. When I listen to Rav Moshe learn, I think the way he learns, he reads a couple sugyas and he comes up with ideas. I'm just incapable of that. But with sugyas that there aren't Rishonim, as we've seen this year, I do that. I do my best because I don't have Rishonim and I do the best that I can. So when I feel so empowered by Reb Chaim's derech is, it's glasses. It's not, you know, another pshat, another idea. It's glasses to understand backwards how the Rishonim and the Gemara were operating. Anyway, so our next stage is, well, what would Rabbi Yochanan say about that? Is this the machlokas, Oren? That Rabbi Yochanan holds mammon and Reish Lakish holds pshia? And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan couldn't reconcile Eish with Niske Mammon, and therefore, Rabbi Yochanan had to tag Eish as Isham Isham Chitzab. Is that the machlokas? Or can anyone tell me, maybe by using a Rishon, that maybe Rabbi Yochanan agreed that the Machayev of Niske Mammon is Pshia, but he still had a problem with Pshia as it relates to Eish? Which Rishon talks in that tone? That even if my focal point is Pshia, Shmira, Eish can't be categorized that way according to Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan had the default to Ishim Ishim Chizah. Which Rishon am I talking about? Anyone? Okay, let's read Tosfos together. Okay? Again, as I told you so often, learn within which Shita a Rishon is operating. Sometimes you get confused, like, is he talking about this Shita or that Shita? Just like last Sugi, I was very, very definitive. Let's only explore Rishonim that operate within the Mandayam or Tchilos of Shiva Selvionis Chayiv. I'm sure there's a nice shir to talk about Tchilos of Shiva Selvionis Pata. We just didn't have time. That was obviously the easier Shita. So the same thing. This Sugi, you have to be very, very careful in the Gemara and Rishonim. Is this a chiddush within Reish Lakish's Shita, or is this a chiddush within Rabbi Yochanan's Shita? So we're now saying Reish Lakish felt the Machayiv of Niske Mammon is Pshia, therefore we could call Eish Niske Mammon. And what would Rabbi Yochanan say? Does Rabbi Yochanan say the Machayiv of Niske Mammon is Mammonus, and therefore he couldn't say Eish? Or did Rabbi Yochanan say, you know what, I think the Machayiv is Pshia, I just can't call you a Pshia on fire. Why not? So let's see Tosfos. Tosfos Chaf Beis, we saw two Tosfos in. Memono isbe ma'masha. So whose statement is that in the sugya? Who said that statement? Rabbi Yochanan. So now we're in Rabbi Yochanan territory. We now know where we are. Okay, just mapping. A lot of times you get discombobulated. Who says what? This is Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? Juicy. Sing our tea. What does Rabbi Yochanan say back to Reish Lakish? And I'm expecting Tosfos to say, okay, Reish Lakish, don't tell me about Pshia. You're right. You can be Pshia about Eish. I'm a mammonist man, and you can't own fire. You'd be surprised how Tosfos paraphrases of Yochanan. Did I give you this, Tosfos? Yes. Yes. Let's read Tosfos. Memona is be mashasha. Ah, falgav de bor les be mashasha. Ah, so now he's asking the question. Bor is also intangible. Okay, so now, how come Bor is Chayev, according to Rabbi Yochanan, regular Niskin Mamon, and Eish is Pater? Now again, the answer to Bor, and likely what Tosfos is going to say, Bor is also an outlier, right? We can, in theory, have a system of Avakama where we have two outliers, maybe for the same reason, maybe for different reasons, but the answer could be a right. And to a degree, Tosfos is going to say that. Okay, so what is Tosfos saying? Shechiv atar lehevlo v'lo lechavato, especially going to Rav, you're chayiv for the fumes, not for the impact. Mikol makom, here he says, mimono ke'en chitzav shedarko lelekol hazek is beim amashas. So that's basically saying, okay, guys, just I'll make it nice and dramatic because it's Friday, catch it after Gavriel. Throw Bor out of the picture, right? Bor is not mamash, Bor is not darach lehalach. We already know Bor is not just an outlier, but a double outlier, because Bor doesn't even move. At least Eish moves. So, you know, Eish, you can hold up and compare it to the other ones, and it sounds a little strange, Rabbi Yochanan, but you're going to try to tell me, oh, Rabbi Yochanan, what's the big deal that Eish is less baby Masha? So is Bor. You know, Bor is not just the outlier, but it's the outlier of the outlier. So don't. Rabbi Yochanan would have the same concerns by Bor squared. Right? Just like he can't call Eish Mamon. Here's the same thing about Bor, so therefore, there's no question of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't like less baby Mamash by the classics. Bor is not a classic. How do we know Bor is not a classic? It doesn't move. Eish at least moves. So let's read Tosfos again. It's a little wonky language here because it's written very, very clear. But mikol makom mimono ke'en chitzav shedarko le'elchol hazik is be'mamashas. The normal case that we call mamon of movement has mamashas. Eish is a little closer to the normal category because it moves. Bor is really far. But they both share the same defect, and we're going to have to defer what would Rabbi Yochanan say by Bor. We'll have to get back to that at some other point. That's Tosfos' first answer. Inami, or, you know, Bor, chashev is be mamasha. They decree as a Bor, mishtane mamasha shel karka v'nan secholo. Avo makom hilach shel heves, eno mishtane mimash misho, el shenase dolek v'saref. This is interesting. Okay, now you've got my attention. Now he's saying, look at my hands. If we're looking at the spectrum of Mamon Shehizek, we thought Bor was here and H was here. Now I'm flipping the sequence. Bor is a little bit closer to Mamon Shehizek. I could get away calling Bor Mamon, even though it's intangible, whereas I can't get away calling Eish Mamon, because Bor, I've changed the ground. Eish doesn't really change anything that remains changed. It's consumed. What does that mean? Anyone stop to challenge Tosfos? Because you want to understand Tosfos, who cares? Bor, the ground changed. Eish, the ground didn't change. Obviously, the consumed item changed, but... or that make a difference? Presumably, what Tosfos is saying is that there's something that is created or affected or transformed by my digging, which I then can watch. Namely, I dug a hole in the ground at 12 o'clock. That ground change is now a hole. At 12:01, watch the Bor. Eish, there's nothing I can watch once I've created it. This is where I feel Tosfos isn't really filling us all the information. Because I can't, there's nothing, the mazik is in the ground that I've created, and I haven't changed the ground. The mazik is a fire, and by definition, you can't control fire. That's his point. Those are the missing words in Tosfos. In Bor, because otherwise, remember, every distinction has to be relevant, right? I can't just say, oh, Aliyah, come to my house for Shabbos, and Adir don't, because your name starts with E. That's ridiculous. If I say, because I like L.A. guys, and L.A. guys eat less food than Tinek guys, or whatever. It has to be relevant. Okay, I found the chilek. The chilek is, Bor, you've made a change in the ground. Eish says, no, okay. What does that change? What logical axis is that operating on? In what world of Niske Mamon, Pshia Mamon, whatever, in what world of Niske Mamon would that make a difference? You've changed. Evidently, and yes, you'll see later, it's the second thing he said, Tosfos is barking up the Pshia road in Rabbi Yochanan. And he's saying, Rabbi Yochanan says, you can't be, you think Reish Lakish, you could be higher for Pshia by Bor? I'll tell you, you can't. By Eish, I'll tell you, you can't. Bor? Okay, first answer, Bor is crazy. Bor is off the grid anyway. Second answer, by Bor, I can finesse and say you're chayiv because there's something you created that can be watched, namely a Bor. Whereas Eish, you can't watch the ground, obviously. And of course, you can't watch the fire because how can you watch a fire? You can't watch a fire. You either put it out or you light it. A fire isn't watchable. You know how you watch a fire? Put it out. That's my definition. Like Rebbe said about an animal. So the concept of watching a fire is completely, now obviously you can try your best, but there are forces that will take the fire. Otherwise, if you don't add in words and tells us, what is he saying? The boar, there's something created. The fire, you don't change the ground. Okay, you don't change the ground. Why does that make a difference? I'm not interested in the ground, I'm interested in the ash. The answer is, there's nothing created after you set a fire other than the ash, where you can't watch it in boar. Okay, so that sounds like, and I'll show you in another moment, and you'll say, I'll ask you, answer your question in a moment. It sounds like even within a Biochanan, Tosos is saying you can't be chayiv in pshia, as opposed to bor, where you can be chayiv in pshia. And then just as a teaser, the next question is going to be, okay, if you can't be chayiv on something which is intangible as opposed to a bor and uncontrollable, what about soros? How could you be chayiv when an animal throws wind where there's nothing tangible? What's the difference between watching fire and watching an animal? And the answer is obvious, and Tosa shows his cards, what he's really talking about, because he's actually going to say it. Yes, Yosef?
Going back, like, before, I feel like before Tosa, it wouldn't make more sense to say Rabbi Yochanan would hold on the chayv is pshia, because any time that something damages because of your action, you're chayv, and Reish Lakish would say that you're chayv because any time.
No, then why would Rabbi Yochanan call it chitzav? We're not discussing that, what Rabbi Yochanan holds. We're discussing why he rejected the Mimono option. We're in a different stage of the sugya. Why did he have to say chitzav, which is crazy, and we'll talk a little bit about that next week? Because he couldn't swallow mammon. He couldn't swallow the category. So why not? Reish Lakish holds pshia. Why, if the chayv of mammon is pshia, why can't you superimpose the category in eish? So one option, the simple option, is if Yochanan holds the chayv is mammon, you can't on fire. We're trying to think that maybe in Tosos, if Yochanan was also a pshia man, but his version of pshia didn't apply to eish. And if we had to go to... Okay, so we're not describing what he held about Eish, we're describing what he held about Niskim Mammon, and therefore what made him say, you know, Eish is not part of Niskim Mammon. It's a different stage of the sugya. So let's see the next answer, because now Tosus is going to really display his cards, and this should be the first line in Tosus you read. I mean, this is the clearer line, because Bor gets very confusing. It's a very confusing chiluk between Bor and Eish, the second chiluk. The first chiluk says Bor is off the charts, Eish isn't. Second chiluk is hard to make sense, but this chiluk makes sense. V'im Tomar. Mimono, real cases of mammon that aren't chitzav, line number of first wide line in Tosfos, nami les be mamasha. I could go on Suaros beruach shebekan feyim. As you pay Nezek Shalem, according to Sumchos, and Nechasi Nezek, according to Rabbanan. It's fascinating, by the way, if you want a little bit of Suaros nostalgia, that in Tosfos Kasha, when he asked, what about Suaros of wind, he had said, and according to Sumchos, you pay Nezek Shalem. Even if you don't pay Nezek Shalem, you still chayiv for Suaros. The question, what's the difference between wind-based tzraros and eish, is not just a simchas question. Say, hold like the chacham, you're chayiv, halacha mashuzin, you're chayiv chatzin ezek. Why does Tosfos add in this little twist? Oh, by the way, what's the difference between eish that you're part of mishum mamon, you have to say, Yosef, mishum adam, chitzav, what's the difference between that, and tzraros bechanfeim, beruach. After all, simchas holds nezek shalom. And what about the rabbanon? Remember, we started to think about whether tzoros is really a mazik, and is it a whole different circuitry according to Rabbanan? Is it just a reduction, or is it an increase? Remember, if tzoros is a separate shei mazik, then you can't really ask Avi from tzoros. In Reb Chaim's world, this is the Reb Chaim shout-out. If tzoros is chatzin nezik, then it's a whole new shei mazik, which is based on a whole different circuitry, and therefore you can't ask the kasha from tzoros to eish, because tzoros is also off the grid. Like Bor is off the grid. And if you remember, I talked a little bit about this. Maybe Tzoros is like Bor, Yitzir Shei Mazik. And if you remember that a little bit. So it's a little line in Tosos, which is a shout out to Reb Chaim. That if Tzoros is Nezek Shalim, it's a normal Mamona Shezik. If Tzoros is Chatzin Nezek, then it's off the grid. You and I would have thought Tzoros is part of the team. Question is, higher or lower based on the discount of Alecha Moshe Mishinai? That's anti-Reb Chaim theory. Remember, Reb Chaim says that if not Alecha Moshe Mishinai, it wouldn't be a Mazik, Mechadish Mazik, Mechadish Shulman. This is like one little line in Tosos. It's not really our sugya, but a little Tzoros nostalgia. If you follow what I just said, then you're updated on Tzoros. Anyway, what's Tosos' answer? You know what I'm waiting for, Alex? I'm waiting for the following three-letter word. Eish, no bilus. Saros, bilus. Period. Get on the bus. Okay. What's Tosus doing all this? Look at Tosus' answer. Tosus is still tweaking pshia. He says, no. With the animal who throws the wind, Yishai, back to Tosfos, Dimikol makom guf hamamon, shepashabo isbe mashasha. Sheesh lo lishmar mimono shelo yazik lo beruach v'lo b'shum davar. The ein shum mamon shalei b'masha b'masha pasha. Aba yesh chetz she'en ba mamashas. Tulsa says, again, I'm bothered by this, but I'm not bothered in the sugya because he's explaining Rabbi Yochanan in a way that I wouldn't explain Rabbi Yochanan, but I know what Tulsa is saying, that the Torah can't make you chayiv to watch something that has no substance. You can't be, I could be chayiv to watch my animal, both bodily damage or wind damage. I watch the animal. I can be chayiv to watch a boar because it's there. There's an object that I created as opposed to Eish. I can't be chayiv to watch something that doesn't exist. Eish is a chemical process, right? Combustion, right? Fuel, energy, oxygen. It's a process. I can't watch a process. Now, I don't know what I'm saying because I don't agree with what I'm saying. But that tells us we're saying it. Why can't you watch a process? So now we're taking our good old friend called Pshia and Shmira and sharpening it. According to Tosfos, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are having some fundamental machlokas about whether the Torah can make you chayiv only for objects, and Eish isn't an object, or for eventualities, and therefore you'd be chayiv to watch Eish. But you hear Rabbi Yochanan saying it is axiologically, which means the fundamentals of the Torah, impossible for Hashem to make you chayiv to watch something that doesn't exist. Again, fire, just think about it, because we tend to conflate this. Right? There is no such thing called fire. Fire is the release of energy through the oxidation of the fuel. So the oxygen oxidizes, reduces the molecules of the fuel, and energy is released. There is no such thing called fire. It doesn't exist. Now, fire needs fuel to grow. There's a baguette, there's wheat, whatever. But the actual fire, the damager, doesn't exist. It's just a chemical reaction in scientific terms. Tosfos is going to use these terms, but that's what he's saying, right? It's Ben Mamasha. So the Torah can tell you, watch the animal, not just that it shouldn't bite and gore, but it shouldn't throw wind. Torah can tell you, watch the boar, if boar is normal. Hashem can't tell you, watch a process. Why not? I don't agree with this, but I understand it. Remember, Lamdas is in voting. Lamdas is seeing different sides. It's a fascinating concept that there's a limit to what Hashem wants you to be chayiv for. Hashem can target objects and say, watch that object. Hashem can, say differently, impose a chiyuv shmir on an object. Hashem can't impose a chiyuv shmir on the gaver. Why? Because ain't the gaver self. You become neurotic. You have to watch against damage. You'll spend your whole life walking around this world making sure people don't get damaged. Hashem has to target and say there's an object that you have to watch. And Eish is not an object, and therefore you can't watch, which is what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, which is not the way I and you would read Rabbi Yochanan. But it's clearly the way Tosfos read Rabbi Yochanan. There's no mistaking Tosfos. This whole Tosfos goes away if the chiyuv is mamon, and it's clear that Eish less mamash is no mamon. Okay, boy, you have to solve bar, but you don't solve tzoros. And earlier, when Tosfos solved tzoros, the answer should be, you own the animal. Not that you can watch it because there's a guf hadavar shepasheba. Again, read the answer of Tosfos to be able to see the unexpected. You can't appreciate Tosfos unless you say, that's not what I expected Tosfos to say. I expected Tosfos to say something else. V'yesh lomar, second wide line, by Tzvaros, mikom akom, guf hamamon shepashaba, is be'mamasha. Sheyesh lo lishmar, mimono, shelo yazik, lo beruch, lo b'shem dover. Ve'ein shum mamon shelei be'mamasha, b'masha pasha. Avayesh chayitz, fire, which doesn't have mamasha. Okay, so this is going back, taking now two steps back. This is the first way to explain Reish Lakish. Again, we took a detour. What would Rabbi Yochanan say? I'll repeat it again. Simple pshat is Rabbi Yochanan. Ping pong. Rabbi Yochanan says, Eish can't be mamon. I'm going to default to Adam next week. What does Reish Lakish say? Option number one, I'll draw it on the board in a few minutes. Reish Lakish says, it's mamon because mamon doesn't mean mamon, it means pshia. What would Rabbi Yochanan say back to that? Either I hold mamon is mamon, so you're off, you're finished. Or as Tosfos says, I hold mamon is pshia, but you can't really be chayiv for shmira on something that doesn't exist. Now we're going back up the tree. Is there another way to view Reish Lakish, or has Shir ended? Why has Shir not ending? Not because I like to torture you. What part of the Gemara makes it sound like the word mamon, according to Reish Lakish, is more literal than just mimona shehizik pshia, which can be superimposed on Eish? What is the paradigm shifter in this sugya? What forces certain Rishonim, French Rishonim, Italian Rishonim, we'll see. What forces certain Rishonim to say, you know what, when Reish Lakish called Eish Mamon, he was dead serious. He didn't mean, just like Mamon is Chayiv for Pshia, so too.
Rashi.
Okay, but before Rashi, what line in the Gemara was Rashi being influenced by God? Very good. our Mishnah. How did we get to this whole conversation of Eish? After all of Eish is in the sixth parak, and we're going to see some Gemaras in the sixth parak of Mirtz Hashem on Sunday, because of the dog case. Yisrael David, wherever you are listening, we're expecting a nice, juicy AI picture, okay, for Shabbos. Okay, because of the dog case. The dog takes the cake that still has a coal on it, so you have an overlap between Shane and Eish, and possibly a little Keren and Sreros mixed in, right? I told you all these are conceptualizations, they're not real cases. So whoever came and learned this mission with his Talmidim, it could be Yochanan ben Zakkai, it could be Antigonus Ish Socho, it could be Shimon ben Shetach, whoever taught this Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva maybe, said, you know what, let's think of a case that can lead to Keren, Shane, Eish, and Sreros. Kalash and Atul Harar. Okay. Yeah. Do you ever think that a case happened where a dog took a coal? Maybe. But I'm a dog. I'm going the other way. I'd rather have some cold dog chow than some hot pita. It's going to burn my lips. I don't know. I'm playing it safe. These cases don't happen, guys. They're conceptualizations. I'm only laughing because, you know, one of the key issues that people have with Shas is, you know, that's all Shas is talking about, contracts and animals and eggs, and they don't realize that this is deep, deep logic that are encased in conceptualized cases. Except when you have the Gemara says, Hugavra, or Yosef Rav Kahana, where the Gemara is documenting real cases. Oh, those are real cases, because, by the way, the concepts we're talking about have to be applied in real halacha. But I would say 90% of Shas are conceptualizations. 10% are real-time cases. What happened? He did to whom? He mazik whom? He mazik her. Right? But the Caliph never took a harara, and the Hadid never jumped with the zrika and machinery. So we have the Caliph that took the pita, took the cake, and now there's Eish. So Gemara says, Bishlama, now keep in mind, look at the Mishnah. Yechayev, what for the pita? How much you pay? Nezek Shalem. And how much are you chayev for the Eish? Chatzi Nezek. Now we don't know whether the Chatzi Nezek is the entire field or just the place that the coal put down. But again, you're chayev, and it sounds like Eish-ish type of chayev and something. Sigmar says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, I can understand the Eish chayev, because if Eish is, I'm using just a general word just to help us, you know, make sense of it. If Eish is like Kocho, like Adam, so just like you could be chayev on kocho of a man, you could be chayev on kocho of an animal. We actually have a cool word for kocho of an animal. What do we call that? Tzoros. And tzoros happens to be chatzi nezek, which is what the Mishnah says. So it all works. Like, we'll get to it, but you know, there's no problem here. We just have to, you know, work out the details. But it's all fine. Because Eish is my kocho. When it's a person, we call it another mamazek. When it's an animal, we call it tzoros. It's chatzi nezek. When it's an animal, it works. But here's the key line, Aaron. Here's the paradigm shifter. Bishlam, a middle of the page, Chav Beis, Amandi Amma Yishim Yishim Chitzav, Chitzav de Kelevu, Amandi Amma Yishim Yishim Memono, Hai Eish, Lav, Memono, De Baal, HaKelev. Huh? Baal HaKelev doesn't own the Eish? Alex, whoever said that I have to own Eish to be Chayiv for Eish? According to Rish Lakish. Everything we said until now, you know what the word mammon is? Everyone look at me. When I say the word mammon, I'm not good at it. I don't really mean mammon, I mean you're a posea. You should have watched the Eish. So it's a big deal here. Just like when I light a fire, I should watch it. When I see my little doggy going and taking fire, I should watch the doggy's fire. Well, it's a big deal. Logically, why does Rish Lakish have a problem with you being chayev on the fire your doggy took? And not just logical, like, what's the language? Oh, go to his locus. How could you be chayiv on your dog taking a fire? You're on the fire. Whoever said I have to own the fire? The word mimono, it's a mirage. Don't take it literally. Mimono just means, you know, you're chayiv to watch, like you're chayiv to watch your Shane Varegel. So, say, I have to watch Shane Varegel. I have to watch your doggy's fire. You see how the paradigm is shifting away from on the board where interested in what Rish Lakish says. Today is Isha Mishim Mimono Day. Next week is going to be Isha Mishim Chitzav Day. Is Mimono just a fancy way? We need to use Yisrael David, you know, some homework. Is it a fancy way of saying Pshia?
and Eish is squarely within the world of Pshim, then what does Rabbi Yochanan hold? You know, whatever. We're not less interested in that interface. Or, when Reish Lakish said Mimono, he meant Mimono, as we would say, Bailus, and actually own it. So this is the easy way to learn the Sugya. This is the Bava Kamo way. This is Reb Hillel, one day we'll give a shir, Beis Hillel, you'll call your yeshiva. It's a pshir mamon. It's a shlokish of Yochanan. Why does the Gemara have a problem with Kelev? According to Reish Lakish, the Gemara has a problem. The Gemara says, oh, how could you even talk about Eish? Lav Mimono, Nibal, a Kelev. What do you mean? I don't have to own it. It's to be poshe. It's just like I'm poshe on my fire that I light, or I'm the animal I have. I'm poshe on my dog's fire. There's a way to solve it, but I don't want to take too much of a detour. Look at Tosfos. If you want Dibra Maschil, Lav Mimono. This is what forced Gavriel, Gavi, what forced whom? Rashi. This is what forced Rashi into saying the following statement, and this is now the beginning of our Shia. Till now, it's been the easy peasy stuff. Shia, no mamon, no problem. If Reish Lakish is based on Shia, what's the Gemara's problem with you being chayav for your dog's age? Your Pshia and your dog's age. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, okay, Mishum Mimono, two Rashis. Top Rashi, Mishum Mimono. Kisharo v'bar shezik. Okay, that's fine. You know, Mammon is more normal Natan than Chitzav. Chitzav is a totally different category, off the grid. Okay, that's fine. Nothing here in Rashi. The Kasaka Daitech and the Gemara is going to think or say, Te'ika Benayu, what's the difference between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan? Kigon shehidlik bigacheles she'eno shelo. The Rabbi Yochanan chayev. Reish Lakish Pater, the lav, mimono, who? Huh? Really? Mammon is literally have to own it, Reish Lakish? And if I take Adam's fire, I don't own Adam's fire, I'm not chayiv? Huh? Yeah. That's what Rashi says. Mammon is dafka. Alex, if Mammon were lav dafka, then I could be poshe on my fire. Alex, if I take Alex's fire, I'm just as much poshe as if I light my own fire. Whereas according to Rashi, Reish Lakish would say, if I take Alex's fire in some context, I wouldn't be chayiv. According to Reish Lakish. And that's the Gemara's problem. The Gemara says, according to Reish Lakish, why are you chayiv for your doggy's fire? Rashi. Rashi Dibra Maschel Lav Mono Debala Kelev El Debala Harara, because who owns the fire? The cake guy, the guy who made the cake with the coal. You and your dog were never kind of the fire. So Rashi holds the word Mamun is Dafka. And we'll see Tosfos' kashas in a moment. Tosfos' kashas are not that crazy, because we'll see the Nachas Dafka's answer. But let's first think about one way to view Rashi, and then if we have time, we'll talk about a second way to view Rashi, depending on how much time for that. We may pick this up on Sunday and see what Sunday brings. I don't want to leave too much space because we have a lot of work to do in Rabbi Yochanan. That's really the heavy lifting in the sugya. So I don't want to get too bogged down in Reish Lakish. We may just finish up Reish Lakish a little bit on Sunday. Okay. Can anyone solve the problem? How can I own something that doesn't exist according to Reish Lakish? Okay. Without telling me, right, this is where Brisker Lumda sets in, oh, you can't own fire. And the whole machlokas is, oh, can you own fire? Okay. Well, no, you can't own fire. It's a process. It doesn't exist. Right? Imagine you light a fire and someone comes, it's my fire. What does that even mean? It's my beged. Okay, if you want to take the beged that's on fire, you can because it's my beged, right? So if I light the beged, I can say, look, it's my beged. I want to use it for, I don't know, for ashes or something. But you can't say, if someone takes a candle and sticks it into the fire and the energy gets transferred from his fire to your candle and your new fuel, you can't say, I own fire. I own a fire. Don't tell me, right? This is where you realize the power of lambdas, right? They're obviously arguing about categories. They're not arguing about can you own or can you not own fire. So how can you own something that you can't own? Do we have such an abracadabra to own something you can't own? Who is the magician? Okay, that's not real ownership. Has anyone ever seen a case in Shas where we say abracadabra?
Bor.
You own something. Bor and
Cummings.
Who is the magician? Shmuel of Elazar is not clear. Different yourselves. What do we call it? Anyone know the phraseology? Shnei devarim einam b'shusa shel adam v'asan hakasav ki'ilayim b'shusam eluhem chameitz mishay shal sulamala v'bar b'shusa rabim. Namely, you can't own it based on the normal ration of ownership. But sometimes the Torah awards ownership on items that you wouldn't otherwise own based on the normal terminology of ownership. Right? Elisha, you can't own chametz because ownership in halacha is based on utility. I can't own something that I can't use. Ownership isn't abstract in halacha. If I can't use it, I don't own it. Namely, Yisur Hena. I don't own Yisur Hena. So how could you own chametz if it's not Sirvana? And if you don't own chametz, then which Isser would you never violate, no matter how hard you tried? My Rabbi must. I can't own it. How do I violate the Isser? So one solution is to change the Isser. You don't have to own something to be chayiv. Anyone learn psachim knows what I'm talking about. But another way is to say, no. The chayiv of Rabbi Amasa is based on ownership. But that's exactly the Torah's decision. Kodesh Baruch Hu owns everything, obviously. Hashem determined the normal rules of ownership. These are normal patterns. These are the requirements for ownership. Alex has to be tangible, has to be something you can use, whatever. But Torah creates certain scenarios in which you own something which don't accord with the normal patterns of ownership. Okay, now, I wouldn't have said this on my own, right? Because you can't say, oh, the system applies, but it doesn't apply here. You can't say that. That's what a system is there for. Hashem created a system. But here, part of the system are the exceptions to the system. When Hashem outlined the system, he said, these are two exceptions that are built into the system, and that's why this member is so important, right? This is anti-brisk thinking, but it's brisker thinking, right? Oh, it doesn't accord with the paradigm, but it's an exception. No, it doesn't exist. The paradigm is a paradigm for a reason. But here, Hashem says that within the system of bilus, I'm carving out an area where I can award bilus to create chiyuvim. Right? Basically, shayit to create chiyuvim. To create bayra, by matzah chiyuv, which is a ritual chiyuv, but to create culpability for bor. So just like Hashem awarded bilus in a bor, it doesn't exist and it's in Rishas Rabbim, to a person to make him chayiv, can Reish Lakish feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu awarded bilus Rishon Mamona? Now, who says not? Who says that no, bor yes, and eish no? Tosfos, Chachmei, Anglia. Who were Tosfos Chachmei Anglia? No one you have ever heard of. Most of the Tosfos lived where? France. Okay, in power rankings of Tosfos, who comes in second place?
Germany.
Third place, a little bit far third place. Well, probably England probably comes in third place. Okay, England, Italy, depending on how many Tosfos read. Depending on prominence or numbers. Probably distant fifth place is Vienna, Austria. But again, all these places are different countries, depending on which year it is. That's the central area. There are no Tosfos Chachmei Finland, that I can guarantee you. There are no Tosfos Chachmei Norway. No Vikings from Paleotosis. It's England. It's not Spain, because Spain weren't Paleotosis. Okay, so I could read you the laundry list of people. It's a lot of Lundrish, which is the town of London. A lot of Rabbein Eliyahu Milundrish and Rabbein Avraham Milundrish. It's not even clear who wrote it. We just have this manuscript that was discovered, right? I promise you that Avi Cohn, Shai, 250 years ago when your Zaydi, your great Zaydi, was sitting and learning Torah by the Maralmi Prague or by the Nodavida, wherever they were learning, no one knew what the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia were because they didn't have the manuscript. Over the last 100 years, through various efforts, we've discovered manuscripts. In fact, I don't think I even own the Sefer. So if you're looking for a nice gift to give me for hunt down a Tosfos Chachmei Anglia on Bava Kamma. Okay. Don't tell my wife I said that. She'll say, you know, get him earphones. Okay. Tosfos Chachmei Anglia. Okay. Tosfos Chachmei on Bava Kamma. I forgot to bring. Did I bring in my sheet? No, I didn't bring in my sheet. Someone lend me the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia sheet. Okay, it is. No one has the sheet?
I think it's
printed out.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so can anyone read it? Can we bring it up online? Tosfos Chachmei Anglia says that it doesn't apply to Eish. He doesn't say why, like what the difference is. Where is it here? Yeah.
Is it that the first line, the second line?
It's, well, the first line says it doesn't apply.
Amai lo karmar na mi isho. He's in Psachim. I'm sorry, there isn't a Tosfos Chacham Yakim in Bavakal, so I don't have it. The Tosfos Chacham Yakim in Psachim. And the same Gemara appears in Psachim. I also thought it was Tosfos Chacham Yakim in Psachim, but it doesn't make a difference. Okay? Amai lo karmar na mi isho. She natal she'eno b'rishusa v'hidlek kiddishu v'chayiv. I take Adam's fire and chayiv. Yesh lomar l'hachi nakat hachi shak. Kasiv kara bal, t'chsiv bal abor.
So the Chachmei Anglia discriminate between the abracadabra for chametz and the abracadabra for bor, because in each case the Torah uses bailus type terminology. Baal habor yishalim. We saw that Gemara. And in the case of chametz, lo yirah lecha chametz, or lo yirah lecha sa'or. With la'esh, we never have baal ha'esh, so at least that tips us off that we don't superimpose any pseudo bailus to the abracadabra. He doesn't make an internal distinction. If you ask me, I can make a nice internal distinction. Again, chametz exists. You can own chametz. Bor, you're going to own a whole. That doesn't normally accord with normal bailus, but that's the Torah's abracadabra, even though it's a shesarabim, and it's an open area. You can own space in a shesarabim. Whereas Aish is a process, it's a chemical process. The Torah can't deliver ownership on a chemical process. It just doesn't exist. Okay? But this is one approach. Let me go to the board. This is one approach for Ramona. Namely, Rashi says Ramona is literal. Asan akasov ke'ilu mirshisa. Now, even if I assume this is true, against the Chachmeyan in Rish Lakish. Again, this is all Rish Lakish. The easy Rish Lakish is on the right of the board, Shia. The more complex Rish Lakish is what we're dealing with right now, which is Rashi's Rish Lakish, which comes from the Gemara's question, oh, how could Rish Lakish be mechayiv you for the fire of your dog? You don't own it, your dog doesn't own it, it's the cake that is fine. So one way to explain Rashi is the Torah awards ownership. Okay. Tosfos asks the following two kashas on Rashi.
Tosfos says, let's read Tosfos. Tosfos Isham Isham Mamono. We don't really know what Tosfos feels about the sugya, according to Rish Lakish. We just know he doesn't agree with Rashi. Maybe he holds like Rebbein and Peretz, maybe he holds Shia, we don't really know. But let's read Tosfos. Isham Isham Emano. It's a fundamental Tosfos, so look inside if you have a Gemara. If you don't have a Gemara, use the guy next to you, may not be using it. Isham Isham Emano. What does Tosfos say? Klomar. Chiev Memono Yeshba. Okay, that's the key word. Hello, Chiev Memono. Don't make the term mamono literal, chiyav mamono. Namely, it's not Adam, it's mamono shesek. Tosfos slips in the word chiyav to say, don't read the word mamon literally. My guess is that Tosfos is shia, but this is a different Tosfos. So I only know that Tosfos is against Rashi. I don't know what he says. We'll see maybe later what he may say. V'lo she'a eish shelo, da'filu hidlik ve'eish shelachar, chayiv kin ashkechan ve'akones, be'kofev komasa shechavera b'fnei adleika, Umatia Baruch Matsuya, the Gabigets, Shiyatsa Mitachas Apatish. The Tosfos quotes two cases of Eish, which he thinks disproves Rashi's theory that you have to own the fire. Case number one, if Zev lights the fire, and then I take some wheat and push it into the trajectory of the fire. I take Eliyah's wheat, which is on the side, and push it into the trajectory. That's called Kofet Kamasa Shechaveh B'Fenet Lekas Chaveh. I don't own the fire, and I'm Chayah. Okay, that's such a big Chedesh. What would you call that? What does the Nachos David call that? When I take wheat that's not in the trajectory of fire and put it into the fire, it's trajectory. What would you call that? Adamamazik. If I throw your wheat into a shark's mouth, it's not shark amazik, it's Adamamazik. Instead of me devouring it with my fingernails, and giving it to raise a sharp teeth in the shark. So the fact that I could be chayiv if I take wheat and put it in the line of fire, I'm not so sure, as is the Nachos David. We'll have to see that case maybe next week when we take a closer exploration of what Adam Amazik is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, but it's not like all that rejects Rashi's pshat. As is the next case, Getze Yotze Mitachas De'apatish, where I am hitting a hammer, and part of my hammer hitting is creating sparks. Is that really fire that goes on its own? Or is that basically Adam Amazik? If I throw Eliyah, if I throw a magic marker at you, that's Kocho. That would be Adam Amazik, even according to Rish Lakish. So if I take a hammer and bang the hammer on the anvil and sparks go, so I'm throwing sparks at you. We're talking in this sugya, why just light a fire and it goes by itself without human force creating the movement. But here, I'm creating the movement. So instead of creating movement, I'm throwing a magic mark at you, throwing a spark at you. Okay. That's Adam Amazik. What we want to know is, what's the definition of a situation where you didn't create the movement, you just lit the fire and then the ruach took it. So these are two cases which look like fire and sound like fire, but they're not really
the case of Esh. He lit the fire. I threw the chit into the fire. Okay, I call that Adam. I didn't light a fire that went. I threw sparks at you like I'd throw a punch at you, or I'd throw a spit at you, or whatever. That'd be kocho, which would be Adam Amazi. So none of these questions are so debilitating for Rashi. But what is debilitating is the following. Let's turn to the sixth parak, as I promise you. Let's just read one Mishnah. Easy living, Friday morning. We don't want to get too involved, but let's read a Mishnah about Esh. Okay? Daf Nun Tesam and Beis. Again, because we like learning Sugyos, not Dapim, we're going to be learning, especially next week, a little bit of the sixth parak, a little bit of the second parak. We'll be combining these two prakim to get a holistic view of Esh. What does the Mishnah say on Daf Nun Tesam and Beis? Hasholeach es habeiro, second Mishnah. Biad cheresh shelter bekatan pater medini adam. The chayiv medini shemayim. Okay, if I send the cheresh shelter bekatan, then I'm pater. Anyone know what we call that? What principle this reflects? You all seen it before? Ein shliach l'dvar ver. Even though the pikeach, the cheresh shelter bekatan is a shliach, because ein shliach l'dvar ver. Actually, the next thing. Shliach biad, they're pater because they can't watch it. Here's the shliach. Shliach biad pikeach. If I send, I don't know, Gabriel to go light Nathan's field, in your chayiv, I'm not chayiv because the ain't shliach l'dvar ver. But you're chayiv. Even though Gabriel took my fire. And it doesn't say that Gabriel has to make a kinyan on the fire. I say, Gabriel, go light up Nathan's field. And you go light up his field. You're my executioner. You're my hitman. You're chayiv because the ain't shliach l'dvar ver. You shouldn't have listened to me. Doesn't seem like you've done the fire. Another example. Okay. Echad hevi yasa orv, echad hevi yasa eitzin. If you brought the fire and I brought the wood. Okay, that could be it's my fire because I created the wood. Ba'achar v'libah, probably a more impressive case. The last line in the Mishnah. If let's say Natan lights the fire and I come in, I fan the fire, I inflame the fire, I swell the fire. Hamalah b'chayev, the blower is chayev. These are cases where you don't own the fire. I just blew, and what's what I'm looking for when you expand the fire? Is there a reward for it? You can flagrate the fire, or whatever. You spread the fire, adding more oxygen to the heat. That's why you have to own the fire. So these are the real kashas. These are the kashas Pnei Ashur raises against us. Tosas kashas a little bit. Nachas David already since. But those aren't the kashas to ask on Rashi. These are the kashas to ask on Rashi. It's actually fascinating why Tosas didn't ask these kashas. If he had time to explore Tosas' mind, he knew the Gemara. He didn't pose these questions. So the question is, what does Rashi mean? Now, in order to understand what Rashi means, and I can't promise you that we're going to finish this today, we're going to have to shut this whole Rashi business, who has to own the fire, and try to build a new model of what Mimono means, which would be affected by ownership in some way. That on the one hand, you can't be chayiv by the kelev, because the kelev doesn't own the fire, whatever that means, but you could be chayiv if you blow a fire or something. Right, that's our puzzle right now. Our puzzle is to make sense of what Rashi says in Chav Beis with what the Mishnah says in Daf Nun Tes. Rashi Chav Beis says if the Kelev takes the fire, the Kelev or the owner of the Kelev don't own the fire, or the Pita guy owns the fire. As opposed to Daf Samech, where if you light a fire and I blow it, I'm chayiv. If I give you a fire to go burn the cones estate, and you're chayiv. You have to somehow find space between those two. To say you're chayiv on Samech without Bailus, but you're not chayiv with the doggy case. What model will allow me to say that? So we're going to now build another model. It's going to take us a long, 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 long time. And then that model, we'll go back and say, oh, this could be what Rashi meant, and that's why you putter with the doggy, but you chayiv with the blowy. Okay? Everyone see? Structure, 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 right? You say a million svaras, but it has to fit into the structure, because these are the pieces on the chessboard. You got Rashi saying that the doggy doesn't own the fire because someone else owns it. You've got blowers and takers and shluchim, burning down the place. That are chayiv and what's going on? Okay. Which Rishon gives Adir, as you said a long time ago, but it was spacing. Mimono doesn't mean legal ownership, but it means something other than Shia. That's why it's on this side of the table. Which Rishon am I talking about? Beta Pats.
Einu Peretz within Rish Lakish. Again, where every Rishon is this a Rish Lakish statement or a Biochan statement? Let's see how the Einu Peretz describes Mimona. Okay? Okay, this is the key to the sugya, Rabbeinu Peretz. Remember, he takes Rashi literally, as Tosfos does. So, at some point, if you ask me how did Tosfos understand Rashi, it's probably this. And then Tosfos had a whole range of kashas. And Rabbeinu Peretz says, I'm going to tell you what I think. Remember, Tosfos never tells you what he thinks. Tosfos just rejects Rashi. There's no point in Tosfos where he defines Mamon. He just says, it's a Chiyav Mamon. Okay, what is a Chiyav Mamon? Not define it. We know it's not Chitza. What is it? Tosfos never tells us what he feels. He just says, I can't accept Rashi in the literal way, something around this. Because of all his kashas. Rabbeinu Peretz is operating in the tradition of Tosfos. He's a Baal HaTosfos, French Baal HaTosfos, Talmud of Rabbeinu Chiyav Peretz. So he's operating in Tosfos' tradition. He says, therefore, I can't be literal. I'll tell you what Mamon means. We're going to see at some point later on that could be what Rashi meant. Just because Rabbeinu Peretz didn't think that's what Rashi meant doesn't mean that's not what Rashi meant. Okay, but in Rabbeinu Peretz' mind, Rashi is whatever. I don't know how much time Rabbeinu Peretz took trying to make sense of Rashi, but he just said, Mamon, so Rashi, oh my goodness, can't be. I'll tell you what Mamon is. By the way, that could be what Rashi's saying. Okay, so, you know, don't think. But now we're in Rabbeinu Peretz. So he asked all the kashas and Rashi. Let's just quickly summarize. Reish Lakish Amar Mishum Mamono. Perish Rashi. Tafil Reish Lakish. Lo Mechayev Kinhid Bechalashi Shalom. Lo Shalacherem. Velo Nihira. Getzah Yotzi Mitachas Apatish. Kachabas Adam Kachabas. Avenida Shabbos. Shedef Nechama. Adam Moses. Okay, and also Ve'ot Dekrakama. Mavis Abeira. Ishtama. Doesn't have to own it. Tara never uses the word Bala Eish. Just uses Mavis Abeira. Motze Eish. Kitetze Eish. For the chilek ve'od, everyone be mafkir. Basically, all the kashas that Tosfos asks. Ela ratzalomar, takalaso. The word memono means takalaso. V'alfina la mi baro. Ya pagad de baro shifkir pater mikom makom kiven shematzinu shechiv atara chafiras baro. Even in Rishas Rabbim, kimo kain. Here's your globalization after categorization. Here's your brisk alumnus. Put on your glasses. Right? We atomize bar. How could bar be chayav in Rishus HaRabin? You don't own Rishus HaRabin. We categorize it. You're chayav because you're the Baal HaTakala. I'll show you the language again. Not because of ownership, because you're Yotze the Mazik. Oh, once I categorize bar as Baal HaTakala, maybe there are other cases I could call Baal HaTakala, namely Eish. This is classic Brisker Lumbus. Just like we call bar Baal HaTakala, Huadin kemoke nishlan aloma shechiv atara leish bishvil hadlakas eish. We've now expanded the category called Baal HaTakala to two members, not just bor but eish. Let's remind ourselves of where we saw the original language. Let's open up the Gemara to Daf. Fifth parak to Daf Mem Tesan and Beis. Excuse me. According to the first Mahalik of the Gemara, Rabbah, the Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael in the Mishnah is about a bor in Rishus HaYachid. This, I'll just read the conclusion. Five lines from the bottom, Mem Tesamid Beis. Amar Rabbah, Bibor Bishus HaRabim Kuliyam Alo Pligi Demachayev. Everyone says Yachayev in a bor in Rishus HaRabim. My time, Amr Kra, Ki Yiftach Vechayichra, Imala Psicha Chayev, Alakriya Lakosh again, El Iske Kriya Psicha. That already was a nice language. Iske Kriya Psicha. You're not Chayev for the damage at T1, you're Chayev for the digging at T0. Iske Kriya Psicha. You created a mazik. Not what happened, but what you're in danger. Lo Nechlaku, what's the machlokas? But now let's get to the continuation of the Gemara. What's the machlokas? You hear Yishmal, top of Dafnun, Bebor, Bershusa. What if you dig a bar in your Rishus? And your Mafkir, your Rishus, then allow people to walk in. If I dig a bar in my Rishus, Yishlein, I put up big fences, don't come in, you walk in, it's your problem. But when I invite you to come in, but I still own the bar, but you're walking around. Rabbi Kiva Savar, bar b'rshuso, nam yichayit, d'chziv, balabar, b'bar de'isbe, b'ilim kamar. Torah says balabar. So balabar, we know what the word bal means. Bal means ownership. So you're chayit for digging, that's in Rishus HaRabim where you don't own it. And you're chayit for owning, that's in Rishus HaYachid where, hello, you're not chayit for the digging because it wasn't onerous, it wasn't pernicious when I dug in my Rishus. I didn't do anything terrible, it's my Rishus. So you can't get me for the digging. I'm allowed to dig in my Rishus. The sinister act was inviting people in, but at the digging was innocuous. It was innocent. So you can't get me for this gate pure psicha in a boar that I own in my rishus that I invite people in. But you can get me, Rabbi Kiva says, for the balabor. I own the boar. Balabor. According to Rabbi Kiva, at least in Lamdash terms, it's Svedinim. The two mechayivim for boar. There's a mechayiv boar is gate pure psicha. When you dig a boar, it was just a rabbi, then you're digging. Then it's a chayiv boar. When you dig a rishus yachad, you're an innocent boar digger, and then people fall into your boar through without their psicha. Then you're the balabor. So Rabbi Kiva says, I've got two psukim, iskei kri psicha balabor. What does Rabbi Shmuel say? Why does Rabbi Shmuel say you're partner in a bor in your rishus that you want your balabor? The Torah says, balabor yishalim. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel Savar, here's the key line. It happens only once in Shas. This is a one-off in Shas. This doesn't appear anywhere else. This is the source of Lamdas. Rabbi Shmuel Savar, line number 3, Dafnun, bal hatakal. Hear that? Bal hatakal. Don't take the word balabor literally. We all know the word balabor doesn't mean I don't. It means the balatakala. And you're going to be a balatakala in Rosh Hashanah, not in Rosh Hashanah where you invited people in. That's why he limits it only to Rosh Hashanah, because only in Rosh Hashanah is it a takala. Rosh Hashanah was never a takala. It was only a takala when I invited people in, but not from the get-go. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says, you're only chayav in Rosh Hashanah, according to Rabbah, not in Rosh Hashanah. According to Bekiv, that's Svedin. Balatakala is Kekri Psicha and balabor. In Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's Kikir Psicha. You dug a place that endangered people. In Rosh Hashanah Yachid, you dug it in your own house, and then people came in. So you're not Chayiv, it's Kikir Psicha, pernicious, mendacious Kriya, and Psicha, but you're a Chayiv because you own it. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel says, no, don't take the word Baal. The word Baal in Mishpatim can mean Baal Takala. Reish Lakish, who lived a little bit before Rabbah, may have been saying the same thing. I don't really mean Mimona. What do you mean? It's just Bala Takala, just like Rabbi Shmuel felt Bala Takala. Just like the word Baal in Bor doesn't mean ownership. Well, the word H doesn't even use the word Baal. I don't even have to do backpedaling. The fact of Eish is because you are the Bala Takala. You are the author of the public hazard of Eish. You authored this danger. You created the Frankenstein. Remember, Frankenstein is the doctor, not the monster. So if you're literary, you know that makes it. You created the monster. You're Dr. Frankenstein. See Shai smiling. There's a man of letters here. So you created the monster. You are Frankenstein. You created the danger. You are the author of the danger. And that's what Mammon means, according to the Beta Parents. Baal Hatakala. Okay, I see some guys making faces. We got buses to go to. We'll pick this up in Ritz Hashem probably Sunday. They say we'll see what happens on Sunday, early Monday. Where does this come from? Doesn't make sense by Eish. And then ultimately, how does it help us with Rashi? How does it help us thread the needle between you can't be chayv when your doggy's fire because you don't own it, but you can't be chayv when you blow someone else's fire and you inflame it or you take a fire and go to town. Like, what's happening in Rashi? How do we solve it? Okay? This is our sugya in Reish Lakish. This is the kiddie pool. Get ready for Rabbi Yochanan. That's the more intricate part of it. Nice, lamdasha, beautiful sugya fire. And now we put ourselves in the world of fire. Just very, very, very quickly, let us talk a little bit about Parsha. I always try to make the Parsha...